Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
It is The Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner, Kid Dynamite.
Rob Parker.
There we go.
We are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studio.
We'll do it live.
All right, you can guess which member of the Odd Couple picked that song to play. The Flintstones. Of course, it was Rob Parker. What's up, man? Happy anniversary, brother.
Happy anniversary, Mr. Chris Broussard. Somehow, some way, we made it through 3 years full time.
Yes, Monday, through the storms, through the rain, through all that, we made it. And I'm glad, brother. It's been a great 3 years, and we're looking forward to at least another three. We signed the contract.
That's right.
We told people a few weeks ago. So we'll be here at least another 3 years and hopefully longer.
And, the one thing I'll say, and Chris, you know I've done radio for a long time. I got my first show in 1994 in Detroit. But it ain't easy getting partners.
Wasn't it called The Odd Couple?
Chris, why you got a rain on our parade today?
I'm just saying. Let me just ask you, did you ever do another show called The Odd Couple?
Yes, I did.
All right. Okay. That's all
But just not wondering. On national sports talk radio, okay? Not on national. It was in Detroit. But my point is that it ain't easy to get a partner and have chemistry. People try. They try all the time. You talk to anybody in radio executives, listeners, it ain't that easy. And it doesn't mean that you have to be happy, schmappy, and everything is perfect. That's not as right. It's about a chemistry. It's about, does it work? Can they work together? Does it sound good? You know what I mean? And and that's where we are. And I don't take that for granted, okay? I get mad some days, and I don't get PO'd or whatever you want
to make
the
term. Me some days I'm glad I'm not in the studio with
yes,
you.
Yes, but I appreciate that we are different people, but we have mutual respect. So that's the part that doesn't go away. And 25 years, even we knew each other even before we did this radio show.
Well, I think it's 29 years.
Right?
I believe we met 1992 at the Detroit NABJ, National Conference in Detroit.
Yes.
And Rob was the big time. You were the big time Cincinnati Reds beat writer and all
the about big time.
Young black reporters looked up. Yo, he covers the baby. He covers the Reds. Like, yo.
Crazy.
But nah, man, look, it was great from the beginning. And you were, you know, always humble. Yeah, I mean, I think anybody that knows, you know, you've always gone out of your way to help nurture young reporters and mentor young reporters and give advice. And that includes me. That includes Stephen A. Smith. That includes many others that people know that are now household names. And so I appreciate your friendship more than anything. And you're right about the chemistry. Like, it's something you can't really predict.
You can't.
You can't
you just
really
don't
script,
know it.
Right? Like, Don Martin, you know, we got to give him props. The executive here at Fox Sports Radio who heard you when I had the In the Zone podcast, like my first couple years at Fox Sports 1. And you were a guest, and, you know, we just did our thing. And Don, you know, contacted both of us like, yo. Well, he didn't say that, but,
right,
you know.
But he was like,
hey, you guys got great chemistry. Why haven't you been on the radio together? And we were each doing weekend shows with other people.
Right.
And he started talking to us about you guys should do a radio show together.
And then Scott Shapiro, our boss, also got in on it, and the two of those guys just ran with it and thought that we would make a great team, and they did something. And just for historical, and this is it, we could go move on to our topics, but these guys put on two black guys as co-hosts of a national sports talk radio show, and we believe it has never been done. Not two. And
you had the two live stews, but they only were on about 20 markets or something
right.
like that.
And,
right.
And exactly. But the two live stews, no doubt about it. They had a smaller national platform.
Right.
But we're on about 400 stations around the country, and it's never been done before. And give Fox Sports Radio, Premier Networks, right. Don Martin, Scott Shapiro, Julie Talbert, and everybody else attached to it, give them props for saying, we're going to do something different, and that's what they did. So here we are, 3 years in the books. We're so proud and happy with the listeners and the people who make this show every day. Rob G., Alex, all our update people.
Elijah. I mean,
Elijah.
Sager.
Everybody.
Gascon. Yes. B. Finn, Brian Finley. Lead the lap, all of them.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, and we are excited to have you guys working with us as we have been the last 3 years. All right, DJ Alex Heischert is on the ones and twos. Lee DeLapp, who we just mentioned, is producing today for Rob G. And on the updates, I believe it is Steve DeSager. All right, so Rob, let's get into it. Last night, good game. You know, very exciting game.
Well, down to the wire, yep. You had a missed field goal, and then offsides, it gets another chance. I mean, those penalties, Chris, they kill you. They kill you.
Well, Rob, that's what I want to say quickly, and I know you got something to say. The Giants fans should be enraged. I'm not even a Giants fan, and I was enraged watching that game, Rob, because we know how tough it is to start your season 0-2, and they are 0-2 now. And the last 20 teams over the last 2 years that started 0-2 didn't make the playoffs. Now, the Giants are lucky they're in a horrible division, the worst in the NFL, so maybe they still have a shot. But the bottom line is they're not good enough. And for their next seven games are the Saints, the Rams, I believe, the Chiefs, and one more team that's really good. They're going to be 2-6 at best in short order. And so their season will be pretty much done. But, Rob, this is why they should be enraged, the Giants fans, because the Giants absolutely, positively gave that game away. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I am not only talking about the penalty on the missed field goal that led
right.
to the main field goal.
No, I get it.
Right?
I get it.
How about Darius Slayton dropping that pass in the end zone? I mean, Rob, and if you want to say it was a tad bit overthrown, a tad, maybe an inch, but it was still very catchable. It hit him in the hands. You've got to make that play. There wasn't a defender in sight, and he dropped it. That would have ended the game. 6 minutes left. But then, Rob, it got worse. They made the same possession, 3rd and 5, in the territory of the Reds, the Washington football team. They have a false start, Nate Solder, their offensive tackle.
Yep.
Now it's 3rd and 10. Next play, the other offensive tackle, Andrew Thomas, false start. Now it's 3rd and 15. They're lucky Daniel Jones scrambled and got him back in somewhat field goal position. And Graham Gano hit a great 55-yarder to give them the lead. And then, Rob, to add insult to injury, 37 seconds left. Washington is marching, and there's another offside penalty or infraction on the Giants' defense. 4 penalties in the last 6 minutes of the game that cost you the game. And that's not even to mention, Rob, Daniel Jones' long, 55-yard run.
Came back.
It was a touchdown, but came back because of holding. So Joe Judge is Mr. Disciplinarian. You know, Rob, I'm old school. I don't mind that. But how in the world are you Mr. Disciplinarian? How in the world are you Mr. Buttoned Up? How in the world are you Mr. We're going to do everything the right way? And you got 4 costly penalties in the last 6 minutes. That's why they should be enraged, Rob, because their season's on the brink already because of self-inflicted wounds.
And that's all fair, and I'm not even going to disagree with you, and you're right about Judge. You can't be, wear that on your sleeve, Chris, and the mistakes you're talking about are coaching mistakes, okay?
They are.
Those are when the coach hasn't gotten through to players that you're not going to hurt the football team, okay? You're not going to make those kind of – do those kind of things to hurt. But I'm going to go, Chris, it's even bigger than this. And if I'm Giants ownership, I'm sorry, Dave Gettleman, done. I got to get rid of Dave Gettleman, the general manager. He was hired, Chris, ahead of the 2018 season. Through three seasons, Giants are 15-34, one of the worst marks in the NFL. And you already see what's happening of this season. Don't forget, he hired Pat Shurmur. You remember him, the coach, right, for lasted two seasons. Yeah. Disaster. Now they gave him a second chance to hire another coach, and he brought in Judge, right? And it hasn't worked out so far. And there's other things, you know, with making a trade and when they got rid of
Odell Beckham Jr.
Odell Beckham Jr. and whatnot. And you could say,
how about the drafting of Saquon Barkley, who is a fine running back, Rob. But in this day and age, second pick overall, you're drafting a running back?
Right. And the Daniel Jones. So when
six.
You look at it, you can just pick out and go, oh, yeah, that was awful last night. The Giants are putrid. They stink. Are you kidding me? Come on. This is not good enough. 15-34? This is the general manager. He's put together this mess. He's hired the coaches who you don't like and who aren't coaching right. It's got to go to the top. Seriously. The Giants have to do better than this, and it has to be about the front office. What's put together is not working.
Right.
And you're right, Chris. Last night, it looked like Danny Dimes had a great game, and they were going to win. And they put together points against what was supposed to be a great defense, but the first two games of the year for Washington, I don't know about the defense, Chris. Do you?
Absolutely.
This ain't the defense from last year.
Good. They have not looked good at all. But Rob, you're right. And I do think if this season goes as it's looking like it will, I do think Gettleman will be in trouble. He might. I would think Gettleman will be gone. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But if this season is horrible again, I think he's in deep trouble.
And this is 5 years in a row that this franchise.
I wouldn't get rid of Joe Judge, Rob. But you know how it is. I'd keep him. It's only his second year. You know how it works, though. When a new GM comes, if Gettleman's let go and a new GM comes, then now Judge is automatically on the hot seat.
But you have to bring in, right, you bring in your own guy. And this is the only problem is, like, Chris, you can lose because you don't have enough talent and whatnot. But when you start losing because of coaching, then you got to look at Judge. The stuff we talked about is coaching stuff, and that's where you should be concerned. Daniel Jones, did they find their quarterback of the future? I don't think so. I'm not saying throw him out, but
right.
I'm
willing to watch him one more year. He did look good last night. He has been better at holding on to the football the last seven games, dating back to even last year.
But you know, but still, the results aren't there.
Right.
And so,
yeah, it's no guarantee for sure.
I'm saying, like, if the Giants have a horrible season and have a chance to draft a quarterback, he hasn't done enough yet for me to say, oh, no, we're not going to do that. You know what I mean? Like
Rob,
it's just not going to happen.
The season is quickly becoming about, let's see what Daniel Jones can do. Because if you're not going to make the playoffs and you know you're about out, then that's what it's going to become about. Let us see if Daniel Jones is improved enough where we think he's our quarterback of the future. If not, you know who they're going to have their eyes on, Rob. Spencer Rattler, I would think, the quarterback at Oklahoma. He's off to a tough start this year, but a lot of people think he's the number one pick. And look at the last three quarterbacks to come out of Oklahoma, Rob. Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Jalen Hurts. So far, so good for those guys in Oklahoma.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Our next guest is a great NFL insider for Fox Sports Radio and Sirius XM NFL.
One of our favorites.
Our man, Adam Kaplan. Adam, what's up, brother?
What's happening?
Guys, good to talk to you tonight. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this weekend's games. We had a quite of an interesting game last night. Going into the game, I didn't think much of it. It wound up being a terrific game.
You know what? Let's start there real quick. Dave Gettleman, the GM, I think he has to be out. I mean, when I look at that, what is it? It's 5 years in a row the Giants have started 0-2-3 with Gettleman. I know he's been there since 2018. And then some of the draft picks that he's botched, and then the coaching hires, Shurmur, and now, you know, Judge, who coached terribly last night. What do you make of Gettleman? And if the Giants season is over sooner than later, could he be out?
Well, Rob, look, Dave Gettleman is a longtime Giants front office man. This is the second run with him as a GM. He was personnel executive for decades. They have a very close relationship to the ownership and Gettleman, but if they're able to remove that closeness, he's not done a very good job, particularly with the offensive line.
Nope.
We know coming into the season they had one of the worst offensive lines. I'll give them credit last night. They did a very good job against a very good front seven of Washington, really the front four. But as you said, look, they blew that game. They should have won it.
No doubt.
Yep.
They found too many ways to lose. The way I see it, next week, you know, they have this mini bye. They play at home against Atlanta. If they lose to a bad Atlanta team, the question is not whether Dave Gettleman will be back next year. It's how do you justify bringing him back? It's just he's done an awful job of building this roster. I've been critical of him. I did give him credit for being aggressive in the offseason, but just talking to personnel people over the years, it always starts with the offensive-defensive lines.
Right.
The offensive line has been terrible for years. He's botched it. And if he's not brought back next year, that'll ultimately be the reason. Now, they stay in his corner. They sort of gave him a vote of confidence. But Giant fans are kind of sick of it. And I know ownership looks at it and says, we got to win. And we'll see what happens. But they got to win at home next week against a bad Atlanta team.
Adam, let's go to Cleveland. And we know that the Browns have yet, there's a story that came out this week, have yet to even offer Baker a contract extension. And I think they're definitely going to sign him at some point. When you look at their history, I mean, he led them to the playoffs for the first time in 18 years, first victory in 26 years. And I believe in that time from playoff appearance to, you know, 18 years ago to now, they had 27 starting quarterbacks. So now they got one. He might not be great and he may never be great, but he's good.
Yep.
So I look at it like, ultimately, they're going to end up paying him more the longer they wait. And I get he hasn't shown enough yet, but he's shown enough to make you know that I think that he's your quarterback. So what is their thinking about why they're kind of delaying this?
Yeah, you have to remember here that they have a situation where Andrew Berry's the general manager. He didn't draft Baker Mayfield. There's no rush on their end. They want to see him do it 2 years in a row. Yes, they got in the playoffs. He was the quarterback. He's been durable. He's a pretty good leader. He's done a nice job lately. But, you know, he was very inconsistent leading up to last season. Now, you want to be careful, and we saw with Jared Goff and Carson Wentz in particular, and each team has a reason for why they moved on from those quarterbacks.
Good point.
But they extended those quarterbacks early. Typically, the club takes the risk early, like the Eagles did, and the Rams really did. The Rams gave him Jared Goff a contract, which unfortunately was a little bit too forward-thinking, although they obviously got to the Super Bowl with him. It was much better than Wentz's contract. Wentz's contract was more team-friendly. But in the end, with Baker Mayfield, if he has another good year, right, and I picked him to win a division. They should have won that game. They blew it last week. They had Kansas City. It's hard to win there, and they had him. I thought they got a little bit too conservative, but they have a great staff. Kevin Stefanski is a really talented head coach, probably top five, top seven. Did a great job. Continues to do a great job preparing his team. There's a great marriage between the quarterback and the head coach. They want this to last. Just my understanding of the situation is there were never any serious negotiations. They talked to his agents. He's got agents. Tom Mills and his dad, Jack, have been around forever. They go back to Eric Dickerson. They've been around decades. So this is no new thing for them. They've been through this before. They know how it works. They've been working on NFL contracts since the 80s, mid to late 80s. So they know the way it works. Because of the fifth-year option and the two franchise tags, there's really no rush to do it, and that's kind of what's happened here.
How about the Cowboys? Are they in danger if they go 0-2 or with that division? they can survive that, because most teams that start 0-2 in the NFL don't make the playoffs, but it's a different situation in the NFC East. What do you make of this game for Dallas?
Yeah, this is going to be tough. Now, the Chargers, unfortunately, all of a sudden they've got injury issues. Balaga, their right tackle, just got put on injury reserve within the last hour. Chris Harris, one of their starting corners, he's not going to play this week with a minor shoulder injury. That would be a concern. One of their defensive tackles, Jones, is out, so that all of a sudden they've got injury issues. But, Rob, when you look at Dallas, okay, they get Zach Martin back this week from the COVID list. That's great. But when you look at their defense,
right,
DeMarcus Lawrence is out probably about 2 months with a broken foot. The other defensive end, Randy Gregory, still not off the COVID list. Their defense is bad. They're very weak at D-tackle. Their linebackers have not played quite the level that they're expecting. Their corners got absolutely housed against Brady. I give him a puncher's chance because Dak has been terrific. I mean, he was awesome last week. He was awesome before he got hurt last year. They'll be able to score on the Chargers, but the question is, can they stop Justin Herbert? I have a hard time believing that, and I don't see them winning. Let's put it this way. It'll be a high-scoring game. I'd be very surprised if the Cowboys would win. Now, I'll be fascinated to see what kind of crowd they have in SoFi.
Oh, no, it's going to be a Dallas Cowboy crowd.
Well, I'll say this, though. Talking to the Chargers, they feel really good about their season tickets base. They had a very good run in the spring, talking to them privately about it. But you're right. It typically, Cowboy fans, Eagle fans, and all those fans, they travel. Now, here's the thing. If the Cowboys lose, right, this week, they play next Monday night at home against Philly. Philly might be a little bit better than we expected. They dominated and embarrassed Atlanta in their home opener. Philly is really well coached. The roster isn't great, but they're really well coached. When you could get guys to play better than they probably are, you're doing a great coaching job.
Adam, last thing, Aaron Rodgers, of course, the bad debut last week.
Awful.
I've heard all types of theories. You know, it's one game, of course, or two, is he really all in? And I've even heard a reporter or two say that there is some concern within the organization that, you know, he's just not acting like he's all in and committed and things like that. What do you think happened? And where do you think his mentality is at as far as this season?
No, I don't really believe it. I mean, the lack of preseason, remember, he for the first time ever, he was not there in the offseason. I think that's probably part of it. But it wasn't just like he didn't play well. Their offensive line was horrendous. Their defense was awful. And I talking to them, they were really excited about, and still are, Joe Barry, the new defensive coordinator. They feel it's going to be more aggressive. They just were terrible. I mean, what? I never saw this coming, and I think New Orleans' defense is a little bit better than most people thought. And this was an odd deal. We know about how the game was reassigned. It was supposed to be in New Orleans. It was in Jacksonville. I just think they were off their game. They will absolutely destroy the Lions on Monday night. These primetime games have been great so far. But I would be shocked if the Lions come within 10 points on Monday night. That would be shocking.
I'm with you. I think and I think, Chris, we saw a stat when they lose or something, the next game that Aaron Rodgers had.
7-0 after bad games.
Yeah, like he and the Lions gave up 41 points in the first three quarters to the 49ers. So
exactly.
It could be ugly, no doubt.
Adam, great stuff as always.
Thank you, buddy.
Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys, thank you.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
He's Mike Carmen. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Rob, let's go to the NBA for a moment. The experts and pundits, their own words, over at ESPN.com, Rob, they made their predictions for this upcoming NBA season. And they predicted the Brooklyn Nets to be the team that's going to win the championship. It was a wide margin to them. like 80-something percent. And they gave the Lakers the second-best chance. And then for MVP, yeah, so they got Brooklyn winning the East, Lakers winning the West, and Brooklyn, 79% said Brooklyn will win it all.
Wow.
Close to 16% said the Lakers. 5% said the Bucks. But for MVP, they got Kevin Durant. And so they got Durant and Brooklyn, his team, winning the two most prestigious awards. What are your thoughts on that?
I think they're right. And I'll give you my reasons. A, they came within Kevin Durant wearing a size 15 from beating Milwaukee with two players hurt, essentially. I know Harden was out there, Chris, but he was a shell of himself and Kyrie didn't play. So you look at that and you say, man, they almost did that. That's the team that won the championship. Kevin Durant's foot is behind the line. Milwaukee gets knocked out.
They might win it all.
Exactly. That's how close it was.
There's
okay.
No way Atlanta.
Right. And here's the other part. The Kevin Durant had, Chris, didn't play much during the regular season, had a great postseason. And then look at what he did in the Olympics. He's back. It's hard to look at him and even think about the injury. Like, that's
he's back. Yeah.
Am I right? No, he's no all doubt. The way he's back. And he didn't miss a spot, a step. So I think they look at that, and then I think they look at the odds. What are the odds that two of the three guys are going to be hurt next postseason? The odds aren't good, that those guys are going to be healthy. And if they're healthy, they will be hard to beat. We saw during the regular season when, Chris, they were playing two guys of the three. And remember, they ran off like 19 out of 21 or whatever
and
it was.
Those two were Harden and Kyrie, not even the best one.
Yeah. So I think that's why overwhelmingly the experts have them.
Well, I'm with you on Brooklyn. I just think their big three fits together better than the Lakers. It's pretty seamless. It has been seamless. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You hate to lose a Jeff Green, but Jeff Green, who had the big game in the playoffs for them, can't remember which game it was against Milwaukee.
Game two.
He only did that because
– Game two.
You only needed him to do it, Rob, because, like you said, Harden was banged up and Kyrie was out.
Right.
And if it was game two, he wasn't out. But I thought it was –
No, Harden was out. He got hurt in game one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Kyrie –
Yeah, but Green. Harden was out. I think Green and who else, Chris, had the big game in game two. Remember, they blew him out. They ran him out the gym.
Yeah. I can't remember who the other role player was. But anyway, they brought in Paul Millsap.
Oh, Blake Griffin.
And
remember,
Blake
had
back.
A big game. Yep.
And I like Blake in the role he's playing. You know, he still can ball. LaMarcus Aldridge is there. Coming off, you know,
and they got Millsap,
scare last
Patty
year.
Millsap. Patty Mills.
Patty Mills is a winner. That's a great guy to have off the bench. So, yeah, I mean, look, the Lakers I do like in the West just because, Rob, especially with Kawhi out, who out there has the talent to beat them? We'll see. I mean, it's possible for sure because it may not come together in L.A., but I'm going with them, but Brooklyn's a better fit, and I think they can get it done. As far as MVP, that's where I do disagree. And you're right, Durant is back. There's no doubt. But we know, Rob, that it's tough to win MVP when you've got two other stars.
No, that's
fair. Really superstars. Let's just keep it real. Kyrie and James Harden. LeBron did win two when he was in Miami with Wade and Bosh. But generally, it is tough to win the MVP. They would, and I'm not saying it won't happen, but the best chance of it happening, Rob, would be if they won like 70-something games, you know, and Durant's awesome. But here, look, Rob, you and I talked about this before Durant got back last year. James Harden was looking like the MVP.
Right.
So what I think, Rob.
Before he got hurt. What he did with Brooklyn and put them on a winning trajectory, Chris. I'm with you. He was a legit candidate before he came up lame.
So I think both of those guys will probably play at an MVP level. And that's not even to mention Kyrie, who's going to ball. So I think they'll probably cancel each other out. I would say my favorite, Rob, would be Luka. assuming Dallas can have a good year where maybe they're the fourth seed in the West, I think if they win 50-plus games, Luka could get that. And I think Steph's going to be up there too because I expect them to be much better. If they can win more games, maybe be in the hunt for the home court advantage in the West, I think Steph will put up big numbers and have a shot. Embiid, I think. And then Giannis, and I will throw Durant in. Those would be my top five candidates. That's no slight on the guys in L.A., but again, they'll cancel each other out. LeBron, AD, Westbrook. And LeBron's numbers are going to drop down.
Right.
Just
they
because,
have to.
You know, yeah, if it's going to work.
Right. If he has the same numbers, then Westbrook was a zero.
Right, right. So other than maybe people trying to force a narrative, Rob, I don't see LeBron really being near the top of that race. But it's going to be an exciting season, that's for sure. The Lakers are already out there working out. You've seen videos of LeBron and Westbrook. The Nets, KD and Kyrie are holding practices for the Nets players out there in L.A. as well. So they're all getting ready, and so are we, the iCouple.